honored again with the blessings of Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala. A very renowned Islamic scholar, Dr. Shamal, is with us. So today he would focus on perfect man according to different schools of thought in the light of Ayatollah's Mutahiri book, Insan-e-Kamil. Inshallah, we will get benefited from Dr. Shamal's knowledge, interpretation, and wisdom. And just a quick reminder that inshallah, the floor will open for Q&A after completion of Dr. Shamal's talk. Bismillah.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على سيدنا ونبينا أبي القاسم المصطفى ومحمد وآله الطيبين الطاهرين لا سيما بقية الله في الأرضين أجل الله تعالى فرجه الشريف اللهم أخرجني من ظلمات الوهم وأكرمني بنور الفهم اللهم افتح علينا أبواب رحمتك وانشر علينا خزائن علومك برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين. In the last session, we ended with idea of Muslim mystics or Rafa about four journeys that human beings need to go through in order to reach their maximum potentials for perfection. In other words, to become insan-e-kamil, you need to undertake and embark on these four journeys. The first journey starts from ourselves and is aiming at reaching Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It starts with ma'rifatul nafs and then with self-development, self-monitoring, with tazkiyah, with muraqabah. We reach Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The second journey is journey in our ma'rifah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They say sayr fil haqq. So instead of first one, which is min al khalq ila al haqq, this is sayr fil haqq. We journey in ma'rifah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We want to know him more. We want to get closer to him. We want to develop strong love for him. This is the second journey. For some people, maybe their journey stops here. They are happy with being close to Allah and worshiping him and spend time in private, maybe with him. But Islam says that the path of the prophets and their true followers is not stopping here. If you know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala well, and if you dedicate yourself to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then Allah would expect you to go and help people. This is the difference between the prophets and worshippers only, between prophets and Ubbad and Zuhad. So the third journey is the journey from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, from Al-Haq towards people. Not that you depart and leave Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, no. In the sense that you equip yourself with true ma'rifah of Allah and love of Allah, and then with the help of Allah, with Allah being with you, you go to help people. And the fourth journey is journey inside Khalq but bilhaq. Now you are a different person. Now you may spend years or decades helping people, but always you are mindful of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and you reflect the light of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to society, to the humanity. So these four journeys are very well organized and explained, and indeed practiced by our true mystics and scholars. Ayatollah Mutahhari says, it's not possible to say something better than this. For example, he says, it is really, really true that the first journey is from people and humanity towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As long as we are away from Allah, we are not connected with Him consciously. In our creation, of course, we are always created with Him. Mu'min, kafir, they are all created by Allah and they are connected with Him. But in a conscious and voluntary way, we need to connect with Him. As long as we are not connected with Him, nothing important can happen. And Ayatollah Mutahhari says, Ta insan az khuda judast, hame harf ha pooch ast. As long as mankind is far and away from Allah, every word is absent. Because it is Allah and our connection with Allah that give meaning to whatever we want to do, whatever you say, etc. When we reach the state of remembrance of Allah and ma'rifah of Allah and feel close to Him, then we can go to help people. Sometimes people without this, they want to help people, but in the process, not only they don't help people, they may even harm people more. As soon as they get some power, some influence, then their ego may get on their way. Shaitan may come. It's not easy to have influence, to have following, and then remain the same person, let alone to become more virtuous, unless you have already prepared yourself. Who goes to the politics and before achieving humility, when he goes to politics and gets famous and has following and power, then he becomes humble. Or he's not kind and merciful, but then through active socio-political work, becomes more kind, more merciful, more selfless. It's, you can say it's almost impossible. Because these virtues need to be developed in advance and then maintained in the process, so that at least you can remain the same person. Of course, those who are awliyaullah, when they go into any work, any field, they become better. But these are very strong people that even if they have, you know, millions or tens of millions of followers, they become more humble, as we have in Du'a Makarim al-Akhlaq. We say to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, La tarfa'ani fil nas darajatan, illa waqad hatattani inda nafsi. Please do not raise me among people any degree unless you lower me in my own estimation, the same or more. If it's the same, so at least I remain the same. Which of course means that you must have got some power to remain the same. Or to become even more humble, which means you must have become very powerful, exceptional power you have to get, so that despite being raised in the eyes of people, you become even more humble. When 50 people listen to me, if I am humble, I reach support of Allah so that I remain the same humble person, the same level of humility, the same level of humility when 5 million people follow me. It's not the same. But Imam Zainul Abidin says, bring me lower, either similar to the raise that I have received in the public view, or even more, so that I become even more humble. This is why we see that our godly scholars, they are more humble than, for example, good teacher of the Hawza. And a good teacher of Hawza is more humble than a talibah in the Hawza. When you go higher, you have to become more humble. Okay, so to try to help people without connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not work and can even harm more. To connect to Allah and forget people, this is also not acceptable. How can you truly love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and don't care for his people? It's not possible. Once we had a discussion at the University of Oxford with some Protestant friends, and the topic was faith and modernity. I think it was in 2000, maybe 15, if I'm not mistaken. And alhamdulillah, the book is published. It's available on Amazon, Faith and Modernity. One discussion was about spirituality. And I asked the presenter, who was a Christian friend, how do you assess progress in spirituality? Because this was for me a very important topic, that how can we really examine ourselves and find indicators that can help us to see whether we have made progress or not. He presented his opinion, and then he asked me the same question. What do you think is the way to examine spirituality? And I said, I can mention two things now, which I think are very important. I'm not saying these are the only things, but these two are very important. One sign of progress in spirituality is to see that you have more interest and you get more pleasure from your prayer. A sign of being spiritual, in my humble opinion, is that you value prayer and connection with your Lord. Number two, a good sign of progress in spirituality in Islam is that you become closer to people. This is the way I understand Islam. I understand the example of the Prophet and Imams and Awliya, our scholars, our Urafa, true Urafa, that when they become closer to God, they become more kind, more merciful, more humble, more concerned with the pain and suffering of people. So if you have these two signs and you see that you are improving in these two regards, so inshallah you are getting closer and you are on the right track. One, to develop more appreciation of your prayer, dua, salat, zikr, which is related to your relation with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Two, you feel more kind with people. You feel you are more responsible for people, because these are people of God. Al-Khalqu Ayali, as we have in Hadith Qudsi. Whoever is more beneficial to my Ayal is more loved by me. Ayal means people that rely on someone for their maintenance, like family. But it's not only, it's not the meaning of Ayal, it's not family. Someone that is under your care, you are responsible for their maintenance, etc. So, closeness to Allah brings love for people, concern for people. فَبِمَا رَحْمَةٍ مِنَ اللَّهِ لِنْتَ لَهُمْ. Because you have received mercy from Allah, you have become lenient with people. You are very easy when it comes to dealing with people. So, Ayatollah Mutahhari says, going back to the book, Ayatollah Mutahhari says that if you want to help people without connection to Allah, doesn't work. If you want to connect to Allah and feel not responsible for people, for society, this is not so not acceptable. We need both. So he says, if we look at the history, we see that the people who have been helping humanity, saving them, guiding them, bringing positive changes to nations, are the people that have had some self-building, self-development in advance. If they wanted to do something good for masses, for the long term. We are not talking for just a few months or few years. Because every person for a few months, few years, maybe tries to you know, keep themselves, you know, with their integrity and morality, etc. But for the long term, it's very difficult without connection to God. Then he says, because this lecture was given in the month of Ramadan and, you know, in the nights of Qadr or close to the nights of Qadr, he gives some practical examples from the life of the Prophet and Amirul Mu'mineen and Imam Sadiq alayhi salam. For example, to see how ibadah and at the same time active role in the society can be seen in the examples of the Prophet and Imams. For example, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, not only when he was alone, or we was, you know, not known, or we was not, you know, faced with challenges, but also during very, very troublesome time and, you know, difficulties, his ibadah was very important part of his day and night. In the last 10 nights of the month of Ramadan, he was not going to bed. He was staying in the masjid, doing ibadah, tahajjud, i'tikaf. He has lots of responsibilities. He has lots of enemies. But in order to tackle those issues, actually, he needs this deep connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yes, if day and night he was just doing ibadah and thinking that everything will be sorted out, no, this is not his sunnah. He was very active, working like several people. But at the same time, when was the time of salah, when was time of tahajjud, he was like someone who has nothing else to do. Very focused, very comfortable. Ayatollah Mutahhari says, unfortunately, it seems that at some time in our society, people were not paying too much attention to socio-political issues. And they're just doing ibadah and made Islam into a kind of personal practice. But now he says it seems that they have gone the other way. And they think everything is, you know, just politics, and everything is, I don't know, social work. And they are going from one extreme to the other extreme. While the Quran asks us to be balanced, he refers to the last verse of Surah Al-Fath, when Allah describes the Prophet and those who are with him. A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytan ar-rajim. Muhammadun Rasulullah wal-ladhina ma'ah. Ashadda'u ala al-kuffar ruhama'u bainahum. The Prophet and those who are with him, those who are trained by him, when it comes to the enemies of the truth, he says that kuffar means enemies of truth, of haqiqah. When it comes, so it's not every non-Muslim. When it comes to the enemies of the truth, those who reject and also fight the truth, they are very strong. Ashadda, they are shadid, they have shadda. Shadda means strength. Shadda doesn't mean harshness. Harshness means ghilza. Shadda means they're very strong. Balagha ashadda. Quran says when someone becomes 40, reaches the maximum of the physical powers. After that, maybe we go again to decline. So shadda means power. They are very powerful and strong. But among themselves, they are very kind and merciful. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, تَرَاهُمْ رُكَّعًا سُجَّدًا يَبْتَغُونَ فَضْلًا مِنَ اللَّهِ وَرِضْوَانًا. You see them in ruku, in sujood, seeking favor from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, seeking his pleasure. سِيمَاهُمْ فِي وُجُوهِهِمْ مِنْ أَثَرِ السُّجُودِ. Because of sajda, because of bowing down in front of Allah and prostrate before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you see the impact of this in their faces. Not necessarily by physical marks, but by light. that can come from their faces. You see, Quran is connecting our stance against enemies with our stance with the friends, with our ibadahs, ruku, sujood, etc. Or for example, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Tawbah, verse 112, says, At-ta'ibuna al-'abiduna al-hamiduna al-sa'ihuna al-raki'una al-sajidun, which are some of those things which are more about the relation with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But then also says, Al-amiruna bil-ma'roof wal-nahuna 'anil munkar. So our social responsibilities are there. Our personal ibadah is also there. Or in Surah Ali Imran, verse 17, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, As-sabirin was-sadiqin wal-qanitin wal-munfiqin. And then says, وَالْمُسْتَغْفِرِينَ بِالْأَسْحَارِ. Infaq is very good to be patient with personal social difficulties is very important, but also we need استغفار بِالْأَسْحَارِ to ask forgiveness from Allah in the night close to the Fajr. Ashar, Sahar. He says, I have found this expression about the companions of Imam Mahdi, Ajjalallahu Ta'ala Farajahu Sharif, in several hadith. For example, you can find this in Safinatul Bihar. Safinatul Bihar is compiled by the late Sheikh Abbas Qummi, the one who has compiled also Mafatihul Jannah. Ruhbanun billayl, luyuthun bin nahar. Companions of Imam Mahdi, when it comes to their nights, they are ruhban. They are like monks, as if they have nothing to do. They are involved with prayer and tahajjud. But luyuthun bin nahar, during the day, they are like lions. Very strong, very brave, very active, very powerful. He refers to hadith, as which is based on a kind of story. There is a background to this hadith. This hadith is in Al-Kafi, but also has been made into poem by Maulavi. And he says, Sunni and Shia have narrated this hadith. One day Rasulullah, after Salatul Fajr, before sunrise, so we call it Bainatul Wain. So between Fajr and between sunrise, it's a great time, it's a blessed time. So Rasulullah in that time met one of the people of Suffa. Suffa means platform. There were some muhajirin who had no place to go. Many muhajirin were welcomed by Ansar to their houses. But maybe these people were single, they were not married, etc. Anyway, there was no place for them. So they just made a platform outside masjid and they used to stay and live there. So they were, you know, poor people, basically. Rasulullah saw a young person among us, you know, Ashab al-Sufir. He was in a very special condition. He was not you know, in an ordinary situation, the way he looked, you know, his eyes, you know, face, everything. Rasulullah asked him, Kayfa asbahta? How are you? How did you start your day? He said, Asbahtu muqanan, ya Rasulullah. I have started my day with certainty. I am certain, O Messenger of God. You know, certainty in Islam is very important, very, very important. And it's a rare gift. Not every Muslim is a person who has certainty. So Rasulullah asked, everything has a sign. What is the sign of your yaqeen? He said, "Inna yaqini ya Rasulullah walladhi ahzanani wa ashara layli wa adma'a hawajri." My certainty has given me this condition. I'm very serious. I keep awake during the night. I, you know, have no interest in drinking. I am thirsty during the day. It's like, you know, fasting during the day, ibadah during the night. To the extent that Ayatollah Mutahhari says, even one day I am not, you know, breaking my fast. Every day I am fasting. Ayatollah Mutahhari says, Rasulullah was expecting more. He said, I am in this world, but I can see the other world. I can hear the voices of people of heaven and hell. And if you allow me, I can tell which of your companions are people of heaven and which are people of hell. And Rasulullah said, no, this is enough. Don't go any forward. Maulavi has made this into a poem. He says, Goft Peygamber Sabahi Zaidra. Kayfa asbahta ay rafiq ba safa. One day the Prophet said to Zayd, some people say it was Zayd. Zayd also sometimes is used in Arabic as a general name, is someone, because a popular name. How are you? A Rafiq Ba Safa, O friend who is, you know, sincere, who is kind, good. Goft Abdan Muqinan. Baz Oosh Goft. Kunashan as Baq Iman Gershakoft. He said, I have become a servant who has yaqeen. Then Rasulullah said again, what is the sign of garden of iman? If it has, shekoft means to open. When the flower opens, or, you know, the trees, you know, when they want to have, you know, fruits, when they have, leaves, etc. So Rasulullah said there must be a fruit as a sign. So yaqeen needs to lead to some fruits. Gof teshne budam man rozha. Shab nakhoftastam ze ishq o sozha. During the days, I have been thirsty. In the night, I haven't slept out of love, out of deep yearning for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Goft azin rah kuraha vardi biyar, dar khore fahm o uqul indiyar. He says, Rasulullah, of course, Maulavi has, you know, expanded and developed the hadith, used his imagination to connect it with extra words. He says, Rasulullah said, okay, from this journey, bring some souvenirs, some achievements, proportionate to the level of understanding of people of this world. گفت خلقان چون ببینند آسمان من ببینم عرش را با عرشیان. He said, people of this world can see the sky. I can see عرش, divine throne, with the angels around عرش, the people of عرش. هین بگویم یا فرو بندم نفس لب گزیدش مصطفی یعنی که بس. He said, shall I say more or should I stop? هین بگویم, shall I say more, یا فرو بندم نفس, I should stop here. لب گزیدش, the prophet, you know, sometimes when someone wants to speak, you know, we say, you know, we bite our lips, means no, you know, silent, be silent, meaning this is enough. Yani ke bas. In any case, this person had reached this level of certainty, and then Rasulullah said, what wish you have? He said, I want to become a martyr, I want to become shaheed. And later he became shaheed. You see that in Islam, ibadah and connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is very important. But also the same people love shahada, like martyrdom. So it means that these are not separable from each other. Then he refers to this ayah, وَاسْتَعِينُوا بِالصَّبْرِ وَالصَّلَاةِ وَإِنَّهَا لَكَبِيرَةٌ إِلَّا عَلَى الْخَاشِعِينَ. Allah says, for your problems, for your issues, whether it be personal or social issues, political issues, community issues, family issues, seek assistance from sabr, patience, and salat. Some people have said sabr means fasting, but maybe it's an example. But in any case, ibadah in the form of salat and fasting is a great way of getting assistance and help. So he says, unfortunately, some people are kind of unbalanced understanding, a kind of mistaken Roshan Fikri. Roshan Fikri, because Roshan Fikri, you know, has a history in Farsi, means intellectual. So Roshan Fikri sometimes is used in a positive sense, means to be enlightened and to be free thinker and, you know, follow logic. This is good. Roshan Fikri in this sense is very good. But sometimes Roshan Fikri is used in Farsi in the sense that there are people that prefer modern thinking and their own personal opinions towards tradition. They don't appreciate tradition or sunnah. They want to always say something new. So this is a kind of negative Roshan Fikri. You know, they used to call them during Mashrutiya or Constitutional Revolution afterwards, Munawwarul Fikr. Munawwarul Fikr means Roshan Fikr. It can be positive, but sometimes it was used for special people who were calling for westernization of Iranian culture, etc. In any case, he refers to what happened in the time of second caliph. When Muslims were engaged in some wars and futuhat, you know, conquest, Muslims were very, you know, successful because they had no attachment to dunya and they were enjoying spirituality. They had love for jihad and shahada, etc. Of course, whether those wars were legitimate or not, that's another issue. And there is a great possibility that if Amir al-Mu'mineen succeeded immediately after Rasulullah, those would not have taken place. This is discussion, and alhamdulillah, some research has been done on this. But in any case, the individuals, they had sincere intentions for, you know, jihad, shahada, etc., and removal of the obstacles, etc. The second caliph thought that we should remove Hayya ala khayr al amal from salat. I mean, azan, call for salat. Because if we say Hayya ala salah, Hayya ala al falah, it's okay. But if we say Hayya ala khayr al amal, then people think, okay, salat is the best action. Why we should go for jihad? We can stay in Medina, go to the Masjid al-Nabi, for example, and say salat, remain with our family, and be safe, and do something better than jihad. So he suggested that we should remove Hayya ala khayr al-amal. But Ayatollah Mutahhari says this was not kind of necessary thing, or, you know, something useful, because salat is really khayrul amal, and what was giving power to those Muslim soldiers was their connection with Allah. Otherwise, Iranians and Romans, they had much better weapons, much more equipped and trained armies. If you wanted to compare their weaponries, their, you know, skills, their even number, they outnumbered Muslims. But these Muslims, because of their spirituality, they were able to succeed. Now, if we remove Salat from this equation, because we are worried that they may, you know, prioritize Salat over Jihad, this is not working. This is actually depriving them from their source of strength. What we need to do is to say to people that Salat is the best action, but Salat has conditions. If you want your Salat to be accepted, you need to perform your wajibat, whether they are personal or social. If it's time of jihad, jihad is a condition for acceptance of Salat. If it's a time of fighting famine and poverty, helping with that is a condition for acceptance of Salat. So you don't need to remove Hayya ala khayr al amal. You need to clarify for people that it's not enough just to say Salat, but without Salat, we cannot do anything. So he says, then we can learn this from the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, from the life of Imam Ali, who was trained by the Prophet. He says, when you look at Nahjul Balagha, as we said before, You see, everywhere Amirul Mu'mineen appears as someone who is very strong and focused in that realm. If he talks about wars and jihad and defense, it's as if Ali is a person that from childhood has been trained as a soldier and then has gone to a military college and then, you know, has done, you know, courses on how to be a good commander, etc. He's very, very advanced in that. But when it comes to his connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when it comes to justice, when it comes to social issues, everywhere he's the same. Everywhere he's excellent. He says, since it's the night of the 21st of Ramadan, I want to mention two examples of Nahjul Balagha. One incident that Ayatollah Mutahhari refers to is about the war of Safin. Muawiyah and his army had managed to reach water before Amirul Mu'mineen and his army arrived. So they thought it's good that we get control over water and deny them water. Amirul Mu'mineen wanted to solve the issue through negotiation and not through the fight and war. But Muawiyah didn't want to, because he consulted some of his people. Some said, you know, we should, you know, let them have water, etc. Even Amr'as said, let water be free. Otherwise, they are going to take it with force from you and you would lose your reputation. But in the end, Muawiyah decided not to accept any discussion, negotiation, to keep water blocked. So Amirul Mu'mineen gave a khutbah to his people, which was very, very powerful. He said, قَدْ اسْتَطَعْمُوكُمُ الْقِتَالِ فَأَقِرُّوا عَلَى مَذَلَّةٍ وَتَأْخِيرَ مَحَلَّةٍ أَوْ رَوُّ السُّيُوفَ مِنَ الدِّمَاءِ تَرْوَوْ مِنَ الْمَاءِ. Basically, he told them that they are imposing war on you. Either you have to accept this with being humiliated, or you need to take your swords and fight them and get the also water. So either being humiliated or bravely fight, release water and push them back. Then he said, Al-maut fi hayatikum maqhurin wal hayatu fi mautikum qahirin. You have to change your understanding of death and, you know, life. If you live physically, but you are defeated and humiliated, this is death. So death is in hayatikum, in your physical life, while you are defeated and humiliated. وَالْحَيَاتُ فِي مَوْتِكُمْ قَالِ. And life, real life, is in your physical death while you are qahir. You are in control. You are not humiliated. You are powerful. You are successful. So the army went and they managed to free water. Then Muawiyah sent someone to ask for water. So some companions of Amir al-Mu'mineen, they said, no, US started this, we didn't start this. You didn't give us water, now we don't give you water. But Amir al-Mu'mineen said, I don't do what they did. This is not noble. This is not acceptable. I would fight them in the battlefield, not by depriving them from water. Look at Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam, and also see that even, this is a very important point, please remember very carefully, even some of the people who were fighting under the command of Amir al-Mu'mineen, they didn't think like Amir al-Mu'mineen. They thought like Muawiyah. They thought in a materialistic way. They didn't give us water, we don't give them water. Reactionary. Just the logic of some, you know, wars and commanders that separate war from akhlaq, from spirituality. So to be even a commander in the army of Amir al-Mu'mineen or a companion of Amir al-Mu'mineen doesn't guarantee that you think like Amir al-Mu'mineen. This is why imams are hujjah, not their companions. Rasulullah is hujjah, not his companions. And you have to be very careful. Learn Islam from hujjah, not from, you know, what people do. If people do, is an example, is in line with our hujjah, Quran and Ahlul Bayt, alhamdulillah. Rasulullah and Imams, alhamdulillah. If not, no matter how high they are, how influential they are, we should not follow them instead of following our true sources. Maulavi says, در شجاعت شیر ربانی استی. در مروت خود که داند کیستی. In bravery, you are a شیر ربانی. You are a godly lion. But in مروت, in being noble, who knows who you are? We don't find any good term. Here we can say, okay, lion, because lion is an example for bravery. But in Morova, who knows what you are? Then another incident or another part of Nahj al-Balagha that he refers, because this was the night of 21st of month of Ramadan, is about du'as and munajat of Amir al-Mu'mineen. Allahumma innaka anasul anasin la'awliyaik. Oh Allah, you are the most friendly or the most comforting friend for your awliya, the one that gives the maximum acquaintance and intimacy. Allah is not far. We don't unfortunately feel his closeness. Otherwise, he's closer to me than even someone who is standing next to me. وَأَحْضَرُهُمْ بِالْكِفَايَةِ لِلْمُتَوَكِّلِينَ عَلَيْكَ. Those who trust you, you are bringing and making present what they need more than anyone else. تشاهدهم في سرائرهم وتطلع عليهم في ضمائرهم وتعلم مبلغ بصائرهم. You see, you witness your awliya, your friends, in their sarair, in their batin, and you are aware of their zamir, their inner self. You know how much basira they have. فَأَسْرَارُهُمْ لَكَ مَكْشُوفَةً وَقُلُوبُهُمْ إِلَيْكَ مَلْهُوفَةً. You know their secrets. You are never heedless of them, and their hearts are, beating for you and like dying for you. Then he refers to Du'a-i Kumail and some passages of Du'a-i Kumail, and then he refers to Imam Sadiq alayhi salam, that how towards end of his life he asked all his family members to be present, close family members to be present, and he opened his eyes and said, "Lan tanala shafa'atuna mustakhiffan bis-salah." If someone underestimates salat, would not receive our shafa'ah. And he ends then with the last hours of the life of Amirul Mu'minin alayhi salam. We end our session today with this. Inshallah, from the next session, we will talk about ideas of different schools of thought about Insan Kamil. In this day of Jummah, we pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to send his rahmah and maghfirah to all mu'minin and mu'minat, especially those who have rights upon us, and in particular to Ayatollah Mutahhari and his teachers and students. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen.
Aga, you can take questions today.
I am unfortunately in hurry. If you don't mind, next week, inshallah.
Yeah, I cannot see any raised hand anyway.
Okay, alhamdulillah.
Okay, Aga, thank you. Jazakallah.
Thank you very much to you and everyone. Thank you.
Ahsantum.
Ahsantum. Fi amanillah.
Fi amanillah.
Fi amanillah.